All right, now this is very interesting. This another policy here. So ACT was not the only party announcing policy this weekend. I'm paraphrasing, but Winston Peters said, "Look, he wants more babies, and he's willing to pay for them." The new policy would see parents receive $5,000 a year for the first 3 years of life. The payment would be available for up to three children, meaning families could get up to $45,000 in total. Peters says the aim is to reverse our declining birth rate by encouraging people to have more children. Bit of a catch there. One parent must be a Kiwi citizen. Dr. Oliver Hartwich is the executive director of the New Zealand Initiative, and he's researched fertility rate policies around the world. Dr. Hartwich, welcome to the show.
Yeah, good evening.
New Zealand First says that the birth rate has reached an 11th hour of a crisis point that we cannot ignore. Is he right in saying that?
Well, he's right that the fertility rate has fallen quite dramatically, but not just in New Zealand, but across the developed world. We are currently at a fertility rate of just under 1.6. Just for context, a fertility rate of 2.1 children per woman on average means that the population remains stable. Everything below that means that over longer periods of time, the population will shrink. So as I said, we are just at under 1.6 now. So we are certainly quite far off the replacement level, what demographers call a stable kind of fertility rate that keeps the population where it is.
Oh, so Nikki, there is an issue.
There is an issue, but, you know, economies need people. For a healthy, growing economy, we need people. Does the planet need more people, though? Do you think that might be one of the things that's concerning people?
That old chestnut.
At the moment, we're looking at half the world flooding and half the world burning. I would certainly think twice about bringing a child into that. So do we really need more people? That's my question.
Oliver?
Well, the question is actually, do we want a population that remains stable as it is, or a population that is growing? But currently, with the fertility rate where it is actually shrinking. So on that measure, Winston Peters has a point. He's diagnosing quite correctly that on the current fertility settings, we are bound to decline. The only other question is, of course, whether what he's proposing policy-wise will make an iota of a difference to that. And I would say it wouldn't, because for most people receiving the payment, it would be a windfall payment. I would actually doubt that there would be many families out there who would actually be tempted into having more children just because Winston Peters wants to pay $5,000 per child for the first 3 years. I think that is not going to happen, and we've got plenty of experience from similar policies around the world to demonstrate that these policies typically fail.
Oh, Ed.
Dr. Hartwich, my understanding with policy, these similar policies when they've been introduced overseas, is that there is some change in behaviour, except that couples bring forward their child rearing. It doesn't necessarily cause people to have more children. So if my wife and I want to have two children, a policy like this might say, okay, we're going to get some money, let's have that child next year, because there's going to be some support rather than waiting 2 or 3 years to where potentially in a more stable financial position. But ultimately, an extra $15,000 doesn't make someone think, okay, instead of having two children, I'll have that extra one. Is that your understanding as well?
Potentially, because people always respond to incentives. I'm not quite sure what discussions you have with your wife, but you would first have to assess the likelihood, of course, of Winston Peters being part of the next government and actually managing to get that proposal past the coalition negotiations. I'm not sure whether these are the conversations really happening at home when it comes to family planning. But no, seriously, we've had similar policies in Australia. You probably remember Peter Costello, the Australian Treasurer, who introduced a baby bonus, and he had a slogan where he said it should be one for dad, one for mum, and one for the country. Of course, it didn't happen because, again, it was just a windfall for those who had children anyway, but it didn't actually increase the overall fertility rate.
Okay.
The thing is, actually, when governments
what
want to...
What about Hungary, Oliver?
Work briefly, but a flash in the pan. But actually, if you look at demographic developments across Europe and also Eastern European countries, you wouldn't actually find that such programs really have a lasting impact.
Interesting. Nikki?
$15,000 isn't going to make much of a dent in the lifetime cost of raising a child.
No, well, that's the other thing, isn't it?
What are the reasons for this drop in fertility? Why are people having fewer kids in the developed world?
Well, I think a clear reason is that people having children at a much later stage in life. I mean, if you go back to the 50s and 60s, it was commonplace that kids would be born to parents in their 20s. Now, of course, with parents actually choosing to stay a little bit longer in education and actually getting established first, and then, of course, having to buy houses that have become a lot more expensive over time, that delays the arrival of the first child. And we know that, of course, if that is delayed substantially, that makes the likelihood of having child number two or three much more, much less likely. And therefore, I think we see a cultural shift, and we've seen this shift around the world. And if you really want to do anything about making fertility a little bit higher again, you might think about actually making housing more affordable, because that seems to be one of the most crucial factors in actually delaying family formation.
Okay, so that's interesting, isn't it? So maybe if you had a really robust housing policy, Ed, you're in housing, that might have a better effect than paying for babies.
Well, Winston Peters might be arguing that that's what he's trying to do with the BNZ policy as well. So maybe he's attacking it from multiple angles. Here's something else that I want to get your take on, Dr. Hart, which I was reading in The Economist, that even as the fertility rate drops, because people are living longer and longer, the population is not taking quite the hit that you might think, because we have more and more older people living longer and longer. And so, of course, the fertility rate dropping has an impact, but that is mitigated somewhat by us living longer. What's your take on that?
That is absolutely correct. And I actually did similar research on that, 20 years ago now, where I looked at the effects of an aging population on the housing market. Because there were people, of course, back then saying, oh, if only we stopped, for example, migration policies and had fewer kids, we wouldn't have to build any more homes. But that was not true. And I remember at the time I came across a very striking example, the German city of Cologne in the 1990s. They built, for a city of about 1 million people, they built 40,000 new dwellings, so houses and flats, to house an additional 10,000 people only. And you might wonder, actually, how is this possible? You built 40,000 dwellings and only house an extra 10,000. The reason was that household sizes shrank because the city got older. And so older people live more often alone, and therefore they live, they actually use the same number of dwellings, but for a stagnant population. And that's exactly the kind of scenario we would be looking into if we just lived longer, if we even cut our migration, but we lived longer because we just got older as a population.
Very nice to have you here, Dr. Harpwich. Kia ora. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Oliver Hartridge there, the Executive Director of the New Zealand Initiative.